We turn now to God's Word for our instruction this evening. We turn to the prophecy of Zechariah and chapter 6. Zechariah chapter 6. This is God's holy word. Come, let us hear his precious and holy word. And I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains. And the mountains were mountains of brass. In the first chariot were red horses, and in the second chariot black horses, and in the third chariot white horses, and in the fourth chariot gristled and bay horses. Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, What are these, my Lord? And the angel answered and said unto me, These are the four spirits of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. The black horses which are therein go forth into the north country, and the white go forth after them, and the gristled go forth toward the south country. And the bay went forth and sought to go that they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he said, Get you hence, walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro through the earth. Then cried he upon me, and spake unto me, saying, Behold, these that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Take of them of the captivity, even of Heldai and Tobijah, and of Jediah, which are come from Babylon, and come thou the same day, and go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Then take silver and gold, and make crowns, and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest. And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. And the crown shall be to Heliam, and to Tobijah, and to Jediah, and to Hen the son of Zephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of the Lord. And they that are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord. And ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass, if ye will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Amen. This is the word of the Lord, and may the Lord be pleased to grant his blessing upon that public reading of his most holy, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word, and all to the glory of his name, and to the everlasting good of our very needful and never dying souls. My dear congregation, I turn your prayerful attention once again to the words which I read to you in your hearing in the prophecy of Zechariah, the 6th chapter, once again in complete dependence upon the Lord for any blessing, and so may the Lord be pleased to grant his enabling by his Spirit to minister his word to the profit of your souls and my soul, and all to the glory of his name. We take for our text this evening the verse 12 of Zechariah, the chapter 6. And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Behold the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Now, congregation, before we come to this text itself, let me just try to provide a little helpful background with regarding to these words and this precious promise from God, the Lord, as he spoke through the prophet Zechariah in these visions. Zechariah received 8 visions in one night, and they are contained in the chapter 1 to the chapter 6. Now, these words, as we said, these are God's words, and they come to a very distressed and distraught people who have just returned from exile. The great temple of Solomon that was built many, many years ago, the temple of the Lord built by Solomon, that grand and great temple has now been razed to the ground. The enemies have come in, the Babylonians, and it is laid waste. From the year 601 to the year 586, a series of three strategic invasions took place on the nation Judah. The Babylonians, of course, the Assyrians, these are the enemies of God's people. But God has brought these enemies upon his people to chasten them, for they have gone after false gods. After God had warned Judah of her persistent departure from the Lord, following Baal worship, turning aside from the Lord, and you notice this prophecy begins by "turn to the Lord." The Lord was sore displeased, the verse 2, "with your fathers. Therefore say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me." The people have now returned after 70 years of captivity. But what happened before that? As I said, from 601 to 586, three invasions took place. The Lord has been chastening the people. After King Nebuchadnezzar was defeated in a battle in 601 by Egypt, and remember at this time, at that time, Judah was a vassal state. They were having to pay subjugation money to Babylon. What happened after King Nebuchadnezzar was defeated in a battle in 601 by Egypt? Judah rebelled against Babylon. And it was at that very point that a great onslaught took place in 598 BC. And the Babylonians came in and they led many of the people away captive into Babylon. And then finally, in 586 BC, Jerusalem, the capital of Judah, was ransacked. Houses were burned, fields were set on fire, the temple was desecrated and left in ruins, and many of the people were led away for some 70 years into captivity into Babylon. As I said, there were three invasions that took place, and that was the final one in 586 BC. The time now is around 520 BC, and God in his mercy, which he even spoke about through the prophet Jeremiah, that after 70 years the people shall return back to the promised land, and that fields would be planted again, and the Lord would restore his people. And we know that Psalm 126, where the people returned back to the land. Psalm 126, it's only six verses. "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them the dream." The psalmist says it was like a dream to us. It was something so extraordinary. We never imagined that this could happen. "We were like them the dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south." And then we read this verse, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." The people knew that as they returned back to Judah, and back to Jerusalem and the surrounding cities, that they would have to take precious seed with them as they left Babylon. The little seed that they could carry with them, they had to throw that seed in the ground. That's why we read, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing." They were going back to barren, empty fields, but they knew that the Lord who sends the sun and the rain and who provides the crops will bless them. No doubt they would have to sow this precious seed, but God will bring the increase again. So they are returning back to the land, and they have now returned for a few years. And it's difficult. Not only is it difficult to survive, because there is precious little seed, the seed that they have sown, they're waiting now for the crops to increase. And so God is not forgotten. The name Zechariah means whom God remembers. And God has remembered his people who were in exile, and God will remember them now. But the work is now proving very difficult, because not only are there crops to plant, families to feed, a new life back in the promised land, but the temple also has to be rebuilt. And many of the people that returned were not godly people. Not many of them had true saving faith. Not many of them were the Lord's. Many of them that went back were paneling their own houses, taking care of their own homes. And this so much is the case even today in the church. There are many that think more of their own dwelling places than the church of God. And they should have been really helping to restore and to rebuild the temple. And so this is the case. They've returned. It's difficult. In the year 520 BC, some 50,000 Hebrew men and women and children returned to Jerusalem, but it was very slow. It was very discouraging for them. And as I said, only a small portion of them were truly the Lord's. Many of the people were unregenerate, lost people, without hope, no saving faith, no true repentance. And they didn't certainly help with regards to building the temple. It's a very discouraging time. So few are interested in the things of the Lord, and so it is today. Now, Zechariah is known as the Barnabas of the Old Testament. Barnabas means son of encouragement. And many of these prophecies that the Lord gives him are meant to encourage the people to not only return to the Lord, but to be diligent in the building of the temple. Men such as Zechariah and Haggai were all commissioned by the Lord to encourage the people of God to be about this ministry of the temple. And so Zechariah began his ministry just 2 months after Haggai began his prophecy in 520 BC. And so this is the situation. People are very low, and the situation is very desperate. And so the Lord gives 8 visions to Zechariah, as I mentioned earlier on, from chapter 1 to chapter 6. 8 visions in one night that foretell the future of the building of the temple of the Lord, to encourage the people of God that the temple will be built. And the verse that we have before us is no exception, is it? It speaks to that very point. And within this verse is an astounding prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, who will truly build his spiritual temple. Now, when we think of the temple of God, the actual physical temple is one thing. But there are, as Peter says, the living stones, which are laid, as it were, upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the chief cornerstone of his church. And so the verse 12 speaks to this point, "And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold the man whose name is the branch. He shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord." And so when we think of the temple of the Lord, we think of God's people. Yes, the physical temple has to be built because sacrifices need to continue, all these things pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. The priesthood is to continue. But God has a spiritual temple, doesn't he? And the Lord Jesus Christ is the very substance of that. He is the chief cornerstone of that temple. Peter says in 1 Peter 2:5, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus." The Lord Jesus said, didn't he? He said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail." And here we read of the branch. "Behold the man whose name is the branch. He shall build the temple of the Lord." It's his own temple. And we want to consider this evening this man who is called the branch. And you notice the words there, behold. Whenever the Word of God tells us to behold, we are to stop, and we are to consider, and we are to stand back, and we are to marvel, and we are to ponder, and to ask God to reveal. He is called the branch. Now, in chapter 3 in the verse 8, he is introduced to us. Notice chapter 3 in the verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. Well, Joshua the high priest, in that very chapter, is a man that is pictured with dirty garments. And the Lord says in that chapter, take away his filthy garments and put on him clean garments. There he was standing in the vision before the angel of the Lord, who is the Lord Jesus. And there is Satan, the accuser, accusing Joshua that he is full of filthy rags. And that's a picture of us, isn't it? Full of sin. And there in that passage, behold, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, they are men wondered at. And that's truly true of a Christian, isn't it? What is a Christian? Somebody to be wondered at, somebody to be marveled at, because we are washed in the blood of Christ and we are clothed with his garments of salvation. And he takes away our sin, as we read in that very chapter. In one day, the Lord says, I shall remove the iniquity of the land. In one day. So it is this person, the branch, the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is mentioned. He's mentioned elsewhere as the branch. In Jeremiah chapter 33 in the verse 15, in those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. And that's telling us that out of David's line would come this very branch, the Lord Jesus. He would come from the line, from the lineage of David, David's greatest son. And we want to make several observations tonight with regarding this branch. And the first is this, that he will build the temple. But if you notice in the verse 9 to the verse 11 of Zechariah chapter 6 here, the people at this time that are building the temple are to perform a coronation ceremony in view of this branch, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, that is to come. They are to perform a coronation ceremony. Notice the verse 9. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, take of them of the captivity, even Heldai of Tobijah and of Jedaiah, which are come from Babylon, and come thou the same day, and go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. And now notice the instruction. Then take silver and gold, and make crowns, and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest. So, crowns. And I submit to you, it's more than likely that they are two crowns, one of gold and one of silver. And we'll see that by the bearing of two certain offices, which this branch, this man who is called the branch, these two offices that the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ alone has. So here's the situation. Here are the people. They're very down. They're very downcast. And God commands that some of the people that are building here go into the house here of Josiah, and they are to take silver and gold and make crowns, and they're to set them upon the head of the high priest, Joshua the high priest. And they're to go through this ceremony and to place this crown upon his head, or these two crowns. Now, this was very odd, because it was never acceptable for any high priest to be crowned as a king. Utterly unacceptable. And you know the various instances in the scripture. We think of the times when kings tried to do the work of priests. We think of Uzziah, who was struck with leprosy when he offered incense to the Lord. We think of wicked King Saul, when he tried to offer sacrifice unto the Lord, and how the Lord was greatly displeased. This was never acceptable to the Lord. So no priest could wear a crown, let alone a king's crown. And again, no king could be a priest either. We think of the three offices of the Lord Jesus, prophet, priest, and king. Now, David, who was a king, was also a prophet. So was Solomon. But none of those kings could be priests at the same time. But this high priest Joshua is to go through this ceremony at this time of the church of God in the Old Testament that is very downcast. And they're to have this ceremony. Two crowns are to be made, one of silver and one of gold. It's done in the house of Josiah, and the crowns are placed upon Joshua the high priest's head. Now, all of this, the sign and the ceremony, was used to make a promise more clear concerning the branch, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come into this world and who would perform these offices for his people. As we read here, and he will build his temple. And you notice these words in verse 12 are to be spoken to Joshua the high priest before the people. And speak unto him, verse 12, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. So in the verse 9 through 10 and 11 there is the coronation ceremony, and then the matter is announced that the branch, the Lord Jesus, shall build his temple. And so, think about it. Joshua and the people were to look to this one to come. And that is the Lord Jesus. And that is who sinners are to look to. He is the one who builds the church. He is the one who adds to the church. He is the priest who lays down his life. He is both priest and he is also sacrifice. But he is king who rules and who effects, who applies his priestly work. He calls as the king, he calls his subject members to him. Just as, remember how David called Mephibosheth, called him. He had the power to forgive, but he called him. And he became, as it were, a member of the royal household. And so it is for us if we're in Christ. As priest, he lays down his life as the substitute for sinners, and he ever lives to intercede for them. But as king, he applies all that he has done in his priestly office. And he rules, and he reigns, and he calls his kingdom subject members, and he rules for them and over them forever and forever as a glorious king. And so Joshua and the people were to look to this one who is to come. Notice in the next verse, the verse 13, even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne. You see the two offices there? He's a priest upon a kingly throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Now, what is meant here by the council of peace shall be between them both? Between these two offices, there's a council of peace. Sometimes it's called a covenant of peace, the covenant of grace. He makes peace through his cross. But the council of peace shall be between them both, between this office of him being priest and him being king. This branch, in other words, this man who is called the branch, this glorious Savior of ours, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has been set out here as having two specific offices. Yes, he's prophet because he is declaring these things in his very word. The Lord Jesus is giving the word here. He is the word. He is both prophet, priest, and king. But here set forth are the two offices of priest and king, a kingly throne. And remember at this time how downcast the people must have been because there was no king. No king in Judah at all, and they never would have a king again. Never again. And no king in Israel either. Israel are now dispersed in the north and will become the Sumerians. What is going to become of these people? Well, remember the promise in Genesis 49 in the verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh come. And Shiloh is the Lord Jesus. As Jacob addresses his sons, he's thinking from Judah, from this tribe of Judah, from the tribe of David will come this one who is Shiloh, who will make peace, who is the Prince of Peace. And this, dear sinners, is who you need to look to if you are to be added to his church, if you're to be part of his temple, which is his people, you are to look to this one who alone builds the church. I cannot add anybody to the church, but he does it. He does it as priest. He becomes the sacrifice. And as he does so, he lays down his life for his sheep. And as we thought last week, he knows his sheep. They hear his voice, and they come to him. He is the king. He's the priest. He lays down the life, becomes the substitute. He becomes the sin bearer. And then he's raised up to glory. And then as king, he calls all of those who he has laid down his life for. And they come to him. And he gives them eternal life. That's the sense, and that really is what is being taught here. I will build my church. We're noticing this verse here, verse 12. He will build the temple of the Lord. People, don't be discouraged. This word comes to a people that are very downcast. They've returned to the promised land. The temple is laid waste. Not many true of faith. Two crowns are to be kept. Imagine that. As they gaze upon these crowns, one day somebody is going to wear these two crowns. Symbolical, of course, but what an encouragement as they gazed upon those crowns. You notice they are to be kept there as a memorial. As a memorial. Verse 14, and the crown shall be to Helam and to Tobijah and to Jediah and to Hen, the son of Zephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of the Lord. There they are. These crowns kept as a memorial. One day, the great king and the great priest is going to have these. Friends, who do we look to build the church? It's Jesus Christ. And if we are to be added to the church, you see, he's got to be both to us. And that means he's not only Savior as priest, but as Lord, he's king of your life. We cannot say we belong to his kingdom if he is not both. You see, the council of peace shall rest between these two offices. Some people debate this and say, well, yes, he's my Savior, but he's not my Lord yet. But that can't be. That can't be. Remember what he said, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not do as I say? Well, he's king over our lives and over our heart. Let me ask you the question tonight. Do you know him as Lord and Savior of your heart? This is who God's people look to. They look to him. We think of Isaiah 32, and a king shall reign in righteousness. Righteousness, the righteousness of a holy priesthood. We were thinking this morning of Aaron's priesthood. It wasn't very holy, was it, in himself? How Aaron failed. But this high priest never failed. Why? Because he, so holy, he offered up himself. There was no lamb good enough to pay for our sins, but John said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. As priest, he purchases peace for us. He makes intercession. He makes peace. Paul speaks about the peace of his cross, that peace which is made through the blood of his cross. So Christ as priest purchases all the peace that we can ever have in all eternity with God. But, you see, as it were, if salvation were laid on a shelf, who of us would take it? None of us would take it. None of us would have the power to take it. Would we? As king, he calls us. He calls. He calls every one of his sheep by name. And as king, he maintains his people. None will ever harm us. Never, ever. You see, as king, he applies the redemption by calling sinners to himself and protecting them and guarding them forever and forever. We're safe in the king's hands. We're in the Father's hands as well as the king's hands. And so these crowns are essential for us to understand in terms of what he does for sinners. This priest, Joshua, the high priest. Oh, he couldn't be both. But it was a ceremony to point to the Lord Jesus. A memorial, verse 14, for a memorial in the temple of the Lord. What a glorious hope these crowns presented for the people as they looked and as they gazed to these crowns. And you notice in the verse 12, behold the man. Behold the man. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man. Makes me think of the words of Pilate. Behold the man. What did he say when he said, behold the man? I find no fault in him. No fault in the Lord Jesus, friends. Here is one that can wear these two crowns. And there's where your hope must be. Our hope is built on Jesus Christ, on his blood and righteousness. There it is. His blood and his righteous life and his king to keep us forever. For a memorial in the temple of the Lord. Why is it called the temple of the Lord? Well, because it's his church. He will build his church. It's his people. Let us never think of separating what God has joined together in this council of peace. These two offices of our Lord Jesus. The Father said to the Son in Isaiah 42:6, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people. This is the covenant of peace. This is the covenant which the Father has made with the Son, that there shall be everlasting peace now with sinners that have once offended a holy God. That's why he's called the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. He brings in everlasting peace. Dear sinner friend, do we realize when we come into this world, we have no peace with God? Peace must be effected for us. And only the Lord Jesus Christ, he either died for your sins or he did not. If he did not die for your sins, you do not have peace and you never will have peace with God. And you will go to a lost eternity. But all those that have peace will come to know this Prince of Peace. We cannot come to God any other way but through this high priest. Well, if he is our priest, he is also our king. And he will rule over our lives. Remember what he said as the disciples were very cast down in John chapter 14. He was just about to depart and to go to the cross the next day. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And then he later went on to say in the verse 21 of that chapter, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself unto him. Oh well, if he is our Lord, we love him. We keep his commandments as he is our king. And so as we fix our gaze on this verse, it's a blessed verse, isn't it? He shall build the temple of the Lord. He will establish it. Every single one of the sheep that he has died for, who are his temple, will be added unto the Lord Jesus. Now, again, with regards to this branch, this man who is the branch, what is it that makes him such a suitable Savior? Well, if you turn with me to Jeremiah 33 and the verse 15, we're told of his character. And that is what makes him the one who is suited to build his church. Because remember, heaven is holy. God is holy. And God cannot tolerate sin. And we cannot be saved unless somebody saves us who is utterly holy. And I want you to notice the reference to the branch. Jeremiah 33:15, in those days and at that time I will cause the branch of righteousness. That's what he is. The Lord Jesus is the branch of righteousness. Think of it. Out of our race would any righteousness come? Out of the human race? Human race is lost, as it were, dead in Adam. But he said, what did he say? He said, I am come from above. Ye are from beneath. I am come from above. Yes, born of the line and the lineage of David, by promise, through his father. Joseph was from that line, but not biologically. Not biologically. The virgin was with child. Isaiah chapter 7. God was manifest in the flesh. This branch that shall spring out, as Isaiah says, out of a dry place, Isaiah 53, and out of Jesse shall the stem, shall the rod come. And that is Christ. From a dry place, what was the line of David? Nothing in and of itself, was it? Nothing good, really. David was a sinner, so was Solomon, so was the whole line. Any hope there? No. But the stem of Jesse. Who is Jesse? The father of David. Isaiah 11:1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. And notice, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Isaiah 11:1. And then we read, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. You see, this is the rod out of the stem of Jesse. This is God's promise, a branch of righteousness, a tree of renown, which we read of in Ezekiel, the plant of renown, the Lord Jesus. You see, it had to be a righteous branch. We all are like brands, like, remember Joshua the high priest? Is this not a branch plucked from the burning? That's us. We're all as unfruitful branches. But he is a fruitful bough. He is a fruitful branch all of his life. He bore fruit unto God. In Isaiah, he says, Isaiah sees one coming from Edom. Who is this that cometh from Edom? And then he calls, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. That's what makes the Lord Jesus Christ mighty to save. He speaks in righteousness. His whole life was righteous. That's why, as our high priest, he could lay down his life for us. Because he was altogether righteous, altogether lovely. Friends, have we looked to this great high priest? Have we looked to this one who is priest and who is king? That's the question. He would come from David's line. Jeremiah 33:15, in those days, at that time, I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. What a precious promise that is. And so, dear friends, our verse, behold the man, verse 12, his name is the branch. Have you given much time and much thought? Firstly, to the Lord Jesus. I ask that question tonight. Behold the man. As Pilate and the people looked and gazed upon Christ, the Jews tried to trump up all kinds of false charges against him. He said, behold the man. I find no fault in him. Herod said, I find no fault in him. Behold the man. Behold the true man. But behold yourself. Behold myself. What am I before God? But a wretch of a sinner. Who is Joshua the high priest? Zechariah 3. Filthy garments. That's our whole life. God says, even our righteousnesses, they're as filthy rags. We have no acceptance before God. But in the Lord Jesus, we have righteousness. He is Jehovah Tsikkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. The one whom Zechariah, Jeremiah, and all of the old prophets looked to. The Lord, our righteousness. My friend, if you are to have anything to do with God's temple, it must be he that adds you to his temple. It must be he that saves. It must be Christ, whose name is the branch, the righteous branch. He is the one that builds his temple. Remember what he said to Peter. Peter, Who sayest that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter, on this rock shall I build my church. On this truth, on this solid rock truth, shall I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Oh, what a blessed Saviour we have. He is precious. His goings are from everlasting. Not only is he righteous, but his goings are from everlasting. In Isaiah 53:1 we read, "Who hath believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root in dry ground." Behold the branch, God's branch. Oh, what a Saviour we have. What a blessed Saviour, our Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. See his love, friends. See him coming into this world, living as we should have lived, dying in the sinner's place, pouring his love out there on the cross, suffering the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God. See him now raised in heaven as the King, drawing his people as his word is preached, drawing them. Will God draw those who are his, and may we be as fruitful branches as him. There's a wonderful passage, we just turn you to it as we close. It is found in Isaiah chapter 4 and the verse 2. "In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel." Now, again, we know who the branch of the Lord is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. What day is that? My friends, the Bible speaks of the day of salvation. That's the time that the Lord Jesus appears to be beautiful to us. Before that, we note with Isaiah, there was no comeliness in him that we should desire him. There was nothing in him that we should desire him. But when he comes in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy. How is it that sinners could ever be called holy? I'll tell you this, how we are made holy in him. That's the only way a sinner can ever be made holy. What he does, he in type form, as we see there to Joshua the high priest, take away his filthy garments, put on him a change of raiment. What do we read of God's people in the book of the Revelation? As they stand around the throne of God, they are clad in robes of white, picturing the righteousness of the saints, which is the righteousness of Christ. That is our Lord Jesus, who is altogether lovely. And that's why this branch of the Lord is called beautiful, because that's what he does to sinners. He not only washes away their sins by bearing their sins on the cross, but he gives to them his own beauty, his own glory. See the love of God in Jesus Christ. Behold the man who is the branch. And my question tonight is this: do you know him? Do you know him? And do you know him to be your King? That's the question. If we are his, we will do as he says. And if he is our King, we will reign with him forever and forever, in the new heavens and in the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And blessed shall be his name. Blessed is his name, and his name shall endure forever. Behold the man who is the branch. as they looked at those two crowns, that's what they were to look for, this one who would come. What a symbol to carry on building the temple of the Lord, the physical temple, the one who said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it again. And the scriptures say he was speaking of his own body. And his body is his bride too, his church. And the two shall be one flesh. We shall be joined with God forever and forever if we are Christ's, our head. Amen.